Good morning, everyone. Good to be back in DC. Hopefully my voice holds out. I may have to take some breaks for a drink, but just planning to talk about a couple of things. A little bit about the Climate and Health Program at CDC, one of our initiatives, the Climate Ready States and Cities Initiative, and then probably go into a little more detail about a framework that we've recently designed, which we hope will give some guidance to state and local health departments and really incorporate atmospheric science and walk it through a process. So I'd like, before I go on any further, I want to acknowledge Dr. George Luber as a co-author of this presentation, and also acknowledge Dr. Mike McGeehan, who was formerly with us at CDC and now works at RTI, who's also involved with the conceptual framework that we'll be talking about later. So I have no relationships to disclose. So first up, a little bit about the Climate and Health Program at CDC. We are housed in the National Center for Environmental Health within the Division of Environmental Hazards and Health Effects. We also work across a number of different centers and divisions within CDC. So we have, we've formally been constituted as a program since March 2009 when we had a congressional appropriation. At that point, we were known as the Climate Change Program. Now we've changed our name to the Climate and Health Program. CDC's actually been involved with climate change work for a number of years, but that's since March 2009 is the first formal time that we actually had any money that was specifically dedicated to climate change. Before that, we were involved with a number of national climate assessments in sort of the last 15 to 20 years. So the activities that we're responsible for trying to lead include identifying the health impacts of climate change and the populations most vulnerable to these impacts, and also the systems that are vulnerable, anticipating future trends in regard to health impacts, and of course ensuring that systems are in place to detect and respond to emerging health threats, and lastly taking steps to assure that the health risks are actually can be managed both now in the present day and also in the future. So we have three critical roles at the Climate and Health Program. I need to change that slide. It's got our old name. So one of the critical roles, the first critical role is analysing and translating the latest findings in climate science. So it can be very complex and dense climate science. So being able to actually translate that into something that's usable for the public health community is one of our primary goals. And the second goal is to actually take this information and then apply these findings and turn it into some decision support tools and other supporting tools that are actually useful to state, local, and tribals not on there, but as well. Things like vulnerability maps, surveillance tools, communication tools, etc. And then the last of our critical roles is, we say, to provide leadership both inside and outside to ensure that public health concerns are represented in broader climate change adaptation and mitigation activities, and also to make sure that we're able to push to create linkages between public health and other sectors. So that's a little bit about the Climate and Health Program. Now, our flagship initiative at the Climate and Health Program is the Climate Ready States and Cities Initiative. And there are two parts to the Climate Ready States and Cities Initiative. The first part is actually we have a number of cooperative agreements that we have. They sort of act as like advanced practice sites. And we have 10 sites, 8 states and 2 cities that we actually work with as advanced practice sites. The second component of the Climate Ready States and Cities Initiative is what's going on at CDC, where we're actually trying to develop decision support tools and supporting tools and activities to make it, easier for the advanced practice sites and then by extension all of the state, tribal and local health departments. So a little bit about the Climate Ready States and Cities Initiative. It's actually stratified into 2 categories. We have Category 1 and Category 2. Category 1 are, a little bit newer to climate change as opposed to Category 2. We have 4 states and 1 city health department that we work with in Category 1. So some of the activities that we're actually asking them or working with them to do include, first up, an agency needs assessment. So really understanding the capabilities and the gaps in the capabilities of the state and local health departments. And then once they've identified those gaps and weaknesses, we're asking them helping them to develop strategic plans to cover off those weaknesses and those gaps. And because it's a 3-year cycle, and we're about a year into that cycle, there's also time for them to do some early strategic plan implementation. And lastly, we're asking them to do some partnership building and engagement, both internally within the health department and all the different parts within the health system, but also externally working with other sectors and other agencies. Our Category 2 states and cities, we have again four states and one city health department. These are a little more advanced. There's an expectation they've done some strategic planning and a look at some analysis on their gaps and their weaknesses. So their efforts concentrate on implementation of their strategic plan. But also we're asking them to do a little more, complex work of being able to identify and predict the health impacts and also the population and system vulnerabilities within their area. We're asking them, based on that information, to develop and tailor some specific health programs that are actually tailored to those health impacts that they're concerned about. And then lastly, we're asking them and working with them to identify some co-benefits and unintended consequences of policies, programs and projects in other sectors. So we've actually been working with them and in particular the state of Oregon has been very instrumental in developing a specialised health impact assessment course specific to climate change policies, projects and activities. So we've had a couple of years to working with state and local health departments through various ways, through some pilot projects with ASTO and NACHO at the state and local level. And, you know, again, about a year into the Climate Ready States and Cities initiative. So we've been able to identify some of the weaknesses in operations and some of the gaps. And we've designed this framework, Building Resilience Against Climate Effects, so the BRACE framework, to actually try and cover off some of those weaknesses. And really it's a way of ensuring that they're able to incorporate the atmospheric science and walk it through a process and walk it through all the steps so that it's actually utilised in terms of the actual activities on the ground from a health department. So it's still still conceptual. It's still being polished up, but we hope to get some written up and published in the near future. But this will give you a good sense of the steps that are involved in the BRACE framework. So walking through the five steps, and then we'll go into a little bit more depth. The first step is being able to forecast the climate impacts and understand the vulnerability associated with them. Next step, based on those climate impacts, is being able to project the burden of disease related to the climate impacts. The third step is, again, once you've understood the burden of disease, is actually looking at the interventions that are available. And then once you've established what interventions you want to go with, the fourth step is about developing like a strategic plan or a health adaptation plan and then following through with its implementation. And the fifth step is evaluation, which is important for quality improvement. Some key points to consider when looking at the BRACE framework. The first point is stakeholder engagement. And we see stakeholder engagement as critical throughout the process. And, you know, you will probably utilise and work with different stakeholders to different degrees throughout the process. For example, in stage one, where you're actually looking at what the climate impacts are, there's going to be a lot more need to liaise with climatologists and atmospheric scientists, whereas once you get down to stage three and four, then it's a lot more working with the public health community to understand the interventions and the way that they're going to be executed. The second point to consider is the prioritisation of the health impacts. Now, this is guidance, and we know that state and local health departments will utilise this as guidance, and they'll actually sort of may decide to prioritise at any stage through step one, two, or three. So this the five steps are sort of like the comprehensive approach to doing things, but we understand that there's opportunity or possibility that there may be prioritisation anywhere from stage one to stage three. And that could be dependent on the level of prior analysis being done on the climate impacts or even the health impacts, the level of evidence that's actually available, and even some political or logistical considerations may actually determine if you want to prioritise earlier than stage three. So going into the steps. So step one is the forecast of climate impact and vulnerability assessment. And this is sort of like the step where you're actually gathering a lot of the information and really looking at a lot of the literature that's out there. So there's a couple of sub-steps within this step, and the first sub-step is really to determine the geographic and the temporal scope of the assessment. So really understanding or making a decision on what area you're going to be looking at, whether that's within a state boundary or a city boundary or otherwise. And the temporal scope is really looking at the timeline that you're hoping to do your projections for. And that can be pretty important, because if If your ultimate goal, for example, is to influence a city's master plan, that's usually done on a 25-year time frame. So you may want to be looking at being able to do public health projections for 25 years out to really have a lot to contribute to the city master plan. The second point is, or the second step is assessing the localized forecast of climate impact. So this is a lot of working with state climatologists, groups like NCAR, the National Center for Atmospheric Research, NOAA, where you can actually work out what the climate impacts are going to be for the localized area that you're looking at. Once you've established what those climate impacts are, then it's a matter of actually looking at the literature and actually using expert expert opinion to try and work out the health outcomes that are most sensitive to the climate impacts that are going to be experienced in your jurisdiction. And so that's done by looking at literature on what the health impacts are going to be, but then that has to be overlaid with your understanding of vulnerability. So it has to be overlaid with the populations that are going to be vulnerable to the climate impacts and the health impacts we're talking about, as well as the systems that are in place. So some of the spatial features in an area are important as well. So understanding if there's urban heat island effect in an area, or if you're close, if there's proximity to an emissions corridor, or if you're in a, if you're close to the coast, or you have low-lying areas, they're all issues that need to be considered when working out the vulnerability to the climate impacts. Now, I'm not going to have time to go through these, but I'm going to put them up so that they're recorded in the record. But there are a number of supporting activities that we plan to do, that are either underway or we plan to do to support each step. So I'll just put them up briefly after each step. Now, step two in the framework is a projected disease burden, and the goal here is to be able to actually project the magnitude of the additional burden of disease, so the additional health impacts that will be experienced based on the climate change. So there are, again, the sub-steps within this process are identifying what relevant data sources are available and at your disposal to really understand what the climate-related mortality and morbidity assessment are. So here, consideration for the robustness of the data and what data you have at your disposal is important. Then following on from that is employing qualitative and quantitative approaches to assessing the data. So quantitative approaches is probably going to incorporate things like very complex models. If you don't have that at your disposal, qualitative may actually require employing just expert opinion or expert assessment of what the likely what the data is actually telling you. And then the last step is being able to quantify the potential magnitude of the individual health risks, and both absolute or relative, and that requires incorporating understanding of vulnerability, as well as looking at the data and extrapolating forward over the time frame you're looking at. Now, these are some of the supporting activities. They involve guidelines, lit reviews, and profiling ways that other states and local health departments have done things. Step three within the framework is an intervention assessment. So the goal here is, once you've worked out the magnitude of the health impacts that are going to be affecting your area, it's a case of looking at the different interventions that are actually available for each health outcome, and then assessing an agency's capacity to deliver each intervention, really looking at what your capabilities are in delivering each intervention. And then you can't really get across everything, so it's a case of prioritising which health interventions are most suitable for the jurisdiction based on the magnitude of the health impacts that you're likely to face. So that's the third step in the framework. And here are some of the things that we plan to do, providing information regarding effectiveness of interventions and links to some important tools such as the National Public Health Performance Standards, profiling some case studies, etc. Step four in the framework is about creating the strategic plan or the health adaptation plan, and then going through the steps to make sure that it's disseminated, and then following through with the plan. So again, agencies have their own methodology for developing strategic plans. So we're encouraging agencies to go through their normal procedure of developing a plan. But we do recommend a single unified strategic plan or adaptation plan, just because it's a way of actually ensuring that all of the different stakeholders understand how climate is going to impact their area and their patch, and the fact that they do have a role and that they're able to contribute to something that's contribute to a bigger picture. So after developing a strategic plan, then of course wide dissemination of the plan to all of the stakeholders that play a part in executing the interventions, and then following through and making sure that those adaptations and enhancements to existing programs or potentially new programs are actually executed and delivered. And again, some of our supporting activities involve profiling case studies of the planning process, some of the adaptation plans that will be developed, some training for health impact assessment, which I mentioned is underway, and health, and some case studies of HIAs that have been done. And the last step is evaluation, which of course is important for quality improvement. So from a process evaluation point of view, we do encourage you to go back and review the literature, you know, every year or every couple of years, because the climate projections are evolving over time, and our understanding of how the climate is changing is evolving. But in addition to that, even the health community's ability to actually understand the implications of climate change and understand the changes that are going about and how it will affect health, and our ability to really accurately project forward, is still evolving as well. And there's some key assumptions that will be made, or some key inferences that will be made. So we encourage you to go back and revisit that. From an outcome evaluation point of view, it's a case of continuing to ask two questions. Is climate change being properly considered in broader public health planning and implementation activities in a jurisdiction? And then the flip side of that is public health adequately being considered in broader climate change planning and implementation activities in a jurisdiction as well? So they're very key questions to ask. And our supporting activities are, we plan to try and develop some metrics to be able to measure process, outcome and impact as well. And I think in the spirit of leaving some time for questions and leaving time for the other speakers, I think I'll leave it there, and there's our contact information. And thanks very much for giving me the chance to talk about this.